Judges chapter 10, so if you want to turn over there, we're going to preach tonight out of two verses, verse number 1 and verse number 2. And of all the judges there are in the book of Judges, I've preached on here at the church. I've preached on Gideon before. I think he might be the only one that I've preached on. That was just one message I preached out of chapter 9, verse 17, where it said that he had ventured his life. And I've preached on Tola, and that's who we're going to look at tonight. And I don't know, I want to say it's probably been at least 2 or 3 years ago that I preached on Tola. And like we were getting ready to say, there's only two verses. There's not a lot more that you can dig out about Tola, but I tried. I went back over, looked at it. I thought about preaching the same message, and actually that's what I'm going to do is, I'm going to use the same outline. It won't be the same message, but I've preached on Tola before. And so we're going to look at Tola again tonight. And let's just go ahead and read verses 1 and 2, but I desire your prayers. Now, as a preacher, it always makes me you sort of feel funny about preaching something you've preached before, even though I know nobody remembers it. You might have written it in the margin of your Bible, but you probably don't remember many details about it. But one thing that comforts me is we sing the same songs all the time, and nobody says, I don't want to hear that song no more. So you usually hear a message one or maybe two times in your life, but let's look tonight at Tola, and I'd been thinking about this for several weeks now because I knew that I'd preached on Tola, and there's only two verses about his life. But let's read them, and we'll look at this tonight. And after Abimelech, now Abimelech was not a judge, but this is just telling us what happened after Abimelech died. We looked at that last week. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And so we're going to look at Tola tonight, and the reason I preached on this before is that I was on vacation, I was listening to the radio, and I heard what J. Vernon McGee was preaching through the book of Judges. And he said this about Tola. He said, maybe you have never heard of Tola. If you haven't, it is perfectly all right. He did nothing noteworthy. What did Tola do? He died and was buried in Shamir. Not one thing is recorded about any achievements. His tombstone said, born-died. And so when I heard that the first time, I thought to myself, I don't think that's very fair on this man named Tola. I just began to think about his life and, you know, how terrible it would be for somebody to say, well, their life didn't amount to anything. They never done anything worth writing down. All they did was they were just born and they died. Isn't that a horrible thing to say about somebody? And I know that, you know, sometimes that there are those that, well, they don't do anything. But the more I study about Tola and look at him, I believe that Tola did do something. And I believe there's several evidences, even though there's just two verses about him here in the book of Judges, I believe we can take away from this that Tola probably did more than we realize. No, it doesn't say that he defeated anybody. It doesn't say there was any great religious reforms or revivals or anything like that. But what I get out of this is that Tola, look what it says in verse 1. It said there arose to defend Israel. He did do something. He arose to defend Israel. He stood in the gap. That's what I called the message when I preached it. That Tola stood in the gap. And standing in the gap, coming to the defense of one's country, arising when nobody else come along, we don't know of or hear of or know about, but Tola arose to defend Israel. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, the Bible said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." And so in the book of Ezekiel, God was looking for somebody. God was looking for somebody to come along and to stand in the gap. And the Bible said that God couldn't find anybody to come along and stand in the gap. And you probably can get a picture in your mind of what that is talking about. If there's a city that has a wall, and if one section of that wall is broken down, that's the very place the enemy's going to come into. And so God was looking spiritually at Israel, and there's a lot of gaps along the way, and God was looking for somebody to come along and stand in the gap, and couldn't find anybody. That's a bad spiritual condition to be in. But we can say from this passage of Scripture that Tola came along and stood in the gap when there was nobody that come along and stood in the gap. And so I want to point out some things, five or six things here about Tola, and we'll give you what the Lord's laid on our heart for tonight. But number one, I want us to learn this about Tola. Tola was a muscle man. All the words I'm going to use tonight start with the letter M. Tola was a muscle man. Now, what I mean by that, look what the Bible says. "And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel." Here's a man that come along to defend Israel. He goes on down and it says about him that he was a man of Issachar. A man of Issachar. Issachar in the Bible was a son of Jacob. And here's what Jacob said about his sons in Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 14. It said, "Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens." And so when Jacob looked out at all of his sons, he had something different to say about all of them. He said, "Issachar, buddy, Issachar, he's a man's man. Issachar is like a strong ass. He is like an animal that you would use to plow or to pull." And when he thought about Issachar, that's what he thought about. Issachar probably was bigger and wider, and you know, they'd say, "Boy, he's big bone. You know, he's a big, strong fella. And he could really carry the grain. He could really, that's what you thought of." And he compared him to a strong ass, a donkey, a farm animal, an oxen, something like that, couching down between two burdens. And that shed some light upon Tola, his family, his character, his heritage. He was strong. He was a defender. He was a real muscle man. He was a real man's man. Now, Christianity, following the Lord Jesus Christ, following the Bible, being faithful to the things of God, living for Christ, it's not easy. It takes some strength. And we find many places in the Bible that God encouraged us to be strong. For example, in Judges chapter 1, verse number 9, the Lord told Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." There's a lot of people in our day and time. They'll quit, they'll give it up, they don't hang in there, they don't stick with it. You got to have some stick-to-it-ness. I made that word up. But you know, it's not going to be a going to heaven like we sing that song on flowery beds of ease. God told Joshua, if you're going to fill Moses' shoes, if you're going to go into the land of Canaan, if you're going to win the victory over there, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have courage. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, the Bible said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." And over again in the Bible, we are encouraged to be strong. We need some men like Tola. We need some people like Tola. Manly men with strength physically, that is one thing. But more than that, morally and spiritually. And we need resolve and grit and determination, or we will be very easily persuaded just to give up. Well, I tried living for the Lord. I tried following Jesus. I tried this and I tried that. Boy, you got to have some determination. And I believe we can find from the Bible that Tola was that kind of person. We need some people like that, some preachers like John the Baptist, and some men that would rise to lead. Like once upon a time in this country, we can look back through. We've had some great leaders. I've been studying for my lesson tomorrow night at the Bible Institute, and I've been studying about George Washington and John Gonneau. Yeah, you ever heard about some John Gonneau? He was George Washington's personal chaplain. He was a Baptist. George Washington was not. He was an Episcopalian, but at the end of the war, John Gonneau and his preaching had such an impact on George Washington that George Washington was baptized by John Gonneau. And John Gonneau was a chaplain in a day in America when it was illegal to be a Baptist. If you were a Baptist, you were breaking the law, because the Baptists would refuse to get a license to preach. And so when they would preach, they were breaking the law and they were arrested. But during that time period, John Gonneau was a chaplain, and I was reading about him today. The chaplains were supposed to stay back with the surgeons. They were not supposed to be in battle, go in battle. They didn't have guns, cannons, all of that stuff, but there was a battle that went on, and the Americans, half the men ran away. And they needed to be out there and turn their cannons around and start shooting at the British. But the British had already started shooting at them, and so they were running away. And John Gonneau looked on the scene there, and it broke his heart, and he saw the men running away. And he described it like this. He said, somehow I got in the front of the... He said, I was supposed to be back with the surgeons. He said, but somehow I found myself in the front of the battle. He said, and not wanting to quit my post because it might discourage some of the men. And not wanting to be accused of cowardice, he said, I stood my ground and helped and done what I could. And he got a cannon turned around and got the battle headed in the other direction. And the officers and men, they took note of that. Well, we need some men like that. Muscle men. Men that'll jump in, get the job done. Men tonight, we need muscle women as well. You know, we'll just get in there and get the job done. That's the kind of man Tola was. He was a muscle man. He was a minute man. In verse number 1, the Bible said that he arose to defend. Now, the Bible does not say, it doesn't tell us of any battles. It doesn't talk in these two verses here about the Philistines or the Midianites or anybody else. But evidently, there was something that needed to be done because he arose to defend. He come to defense. You would not do that if there was no enemy. But evidently there was still an enemy at large. There was still a threat out there. And he was a man that arose to defend. I liken it to this, like the minute men of the American Revolutionary War, that they stood ready. They kept their muskets and they kept their powder and their bullets, and they were ready to go out. They were farmers and blacksmiths and things like that, but they were ready to go at a moment's notice to arise and defend their country and their land and their homes. Now, if you look back in chapter 5, verse number 15, let me point this out. About the men of Issachar, Tola came from a fighting family. He came from a tribe that was known for their ability to fight. And so in chapter 5, verse number 15, now in chapter 10, verse number 1, it says he was from Ephraim. In chapter 5, verse number 15, it said, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley for the divisions of Reuben. There were great thoughts of heart. And so if you remember all the way back in chapter number 5 about Deborah and Barak and them going to battle and winning the great victory there, who was with Barak when he went to war? These sons of Issachar. That's Tola's tribe. That's who he comes from. He comes from a fighting family. And so he knew. He knew when there was a need to arise and defend, and that's exactly what he did. And so we might say tonight, well, we're not under attack. We need some people that will arise and defend the faith. The faith is under attack. In fact, you can be about anything under the sun and it's okay, but if you're a Christian, it's okay to attack you. It's okay to attack your faith. It's okay to attack the Bible. It's okay, as far as the world is concerned, to make fun and poke fun and say that you believe in a fairy tale and all like this. But the world would never say that about Islam. You know, that wouldn't be politically correct. The world would never say that about all the different lifestyle choices. And, you know, there's a Bible word for that. It's called sin. Well, the world won't throw off and say anything about that, do they? We need some people that will arise and defend the faith. We need some people that will arise and defend the family. The family's under attack. We need some people that will arise and defend our freedoms. Our freedoms are always under attack. We need to be very vigilant. And I believe it was Edmund Burke said that all that needs to happen for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. We sit back and do nothing, if we will not arise and defend. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, verse number 3, it tells us, Jude said, I wanted to write about something else. I wanted to write a letter about the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need some people like Tola that will arise and defend in a minute. In a moment, he was a muscle man. He was a minute man. He was a mighty man. Now, I saw something today I'd never saw before. If you look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, and so we'll keep your finger here in Judges, but 1 Chronicles, so it's 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, and then 1st and 2nd Chronicles, right after the book of Judges. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I don't think I marked my place. 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 2. If you have a Scofield Bible, it says that the heading, it says the sons of Issachar. And so we're still talking about Tola's family here, and it talks about Tola here. Verse number 1 said, now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Puah, and Jashub and Shimron 4. And the sons of Tola, Uzi and Rephaiah. Those of you that you know about guns, you know a Uzi is made in Israel. You know that's a Bible name. They have a gun that they are known for. And it's called a Uzi. And that's out of the Bible. It's made in Israel. That's just one of them. Just for your general information, in case you didn't know that. So his sons were Uzi and Rephaiah and Jeriel and Jamai and Jibsam and Shemuel, heads of their father's house. We're talking here about Tola's sons and grandsons and family. But now look at this. It says, to wit of Tola. Now that little word wit, it's a great little word. You don't find it many times in the Bible, and we don't use it in our everyday language, but to wit, it's short for witness. It's a compound word. To wit means to make fully known. And so you know what the Bible is telling us right here? To wit of Tola. Let us witness something here about Tola through his son. Look what it says, to wit of Tola, they were valiant men of might in their generations. That tells us something about Tola himself. through his sons. His sons were valiant men of might in their generations. That is a what the Bible is saying right here. That is a witness to Tola. That tells us something about him. Whose number was in the days of David 22,600. And it goes on down. These men of Issachar, these sons of Tola, they were chief men in verse number 3. Verse number 4, they were soldiers. Verse number 11, they were soldiers fit to go out for war and battle. These men were great men. They were mighty men, valiant men of might in their generations. You know what the Bible is saying right here in chapter number 7? The Bible is saying, when it says to wit of Tola, it's saying these sons of Issachar, these sons of Tola, they were like their daddy. He was a great mighty man. I don't think it's right, and J. Vernon McGee's already gone on to be with the Lord, but I don't think he told right about Tola. I think Tola was a great man. The Bible said that he arose to defend Israel, a mighty man. One of these days, I'm saying all of us in here, we're going to pass off the scene. We're going to die. Think about this. What will our children's lives witness about us? I think we could say he was a great dad. He was a great father. He was a mighty man. His sons turned out pretty good in my estimation. I mean, you'd want to have the sons of Tola in your corner. Our offspring. And I know that sometimes they don't always do what we want to do, but surely some of them will turn out and be a witness to us and a witness to our lives. I was coming to church tonight, and we went by Brother Dwight's. Well, my wife's not there to tell me what to do and when to leave and everything, so I got mixed up and left way early. I had in my mind, I've got to go at a certain time, and then halfway over here, and I was rushing when I left. I wanted to go over my notes, and I had some scripture I wanted to read again, and I rushed out the door, and I got halfway over here, and I thought, I'm way early. And so what I did, I pulled off the road there at Boone Rental, and I sat there and I read my Bible a few minutes. And I thought about this. Many times when I was a little boy, we'd be traveling around, we'd be going somewhere, and Mom and Dad, they'd say, there's Papa. My Papa was a preacher, Preacher Clyde. And he would just, I guess if you had as many children as they did, you'd have to leave the house to study. And a lot of times you'd see Preacher Clyde beside the road. He'd be studying. I'd say, Mama, what's he doing? I always felt sad. I always felt sad in my heart. There's my papa. Why is he sitting there by himself? She'd say, he's sitting there reading, studying his Bible. He's getting ready to go to church somewhere, and he's going to preach. And when I was sitting there beside the road, I thought about my papa. I thought if anybody knew him and saw me sitting there, they might think, that's what Preacher Clyde used to do. See, we ought to be, as a father, we got to have the good to influence that way. But as children and grandchildren, and we look back and we see those that have gone on before us, well, let that influence us in a good way. And so that goes both ways. He was a mighty man. His sons bore witness of his life and how he lived his life. He was a mighty man. Number 4, he was a mental man. Now, look over just a couple of chapters in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32. I've got this underlined in my Bible. I've had it underlined a long time. These men of Issachar, there's just something special about them. There's something interesting about them. I said that Tola was a mental man, meaning this, he was a wise man. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32, it says again, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Now, they were not just They were not just warriors. You know, sometimes to be a good warrior, you got to figure out how not to go to war. Warriors are the last ones that want to have war because they know what it's going to cost them. These sons of Issachar were not just warriors, not just, you know, bloodthirsty. Oh, yeah, let's go out and fight and kill everybody. They were men, I believe, that used their mind as well to stay out of trouble. They were, the Bible said, they were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Maybe there's not a lot said about Tola because he had some wisdom about him. Maybe he knew what Israel needed to do to stay on track for 23 years and they didn't have to go to battle and they didn't get overrun by the Midianites and the Philistines and everybody else. Maybe tonight Tola is one of the greatest judges. Ever thought about that? Sometimes no news is good news. Well, 23 years, you know, not much to say. Praise the Lord. Somebody asks me, how's your day? I say, well, it's just normal. That's a blessing to me. You know, no tragedies, no nuclear wars, no earthquakes, no, you know, no missiles from other countries. It's good to have nothing sometimes. What's going on? Not much. That's a blessing. Well, what went on in Israel during Tola? You know, he was a judge for 23 years. What went on? Not much. Maybe he had some wisdom about it. That ought to be our desire as well as we think about getting older, as we think about our legacy, our life, our testimony. We ought to desire to have some wisdom about us, to fear the Lord, to have discretion, to make right choices, to be men and women of prayer. What a blessing that is. Maybe Tola looked to the Lord and the Lord directed him more than others. God put him in His Word for a reason. And I don't believe it's because he didn't do anything. I believe it's because he done some things right. He was a mental man. Number five tonight, he was a minute man, meaning small. His name, the name Tola, means this. It means worm, a worm, a minute man. To have a name, I don't know, I don't understand all the names of the Bible, but the last time I checked, there's no football teams called the Worms. You know, you think about the Eagles and the Giants and the Bears and the Falcons and the Panthers and all that. You know, these are animals and things you think about would put fear into somebody else. But Tola, his name means a worm. And what Tola has for us is a lesson of humility. But I would say this tonight, worms are absolutely necessary. If you know anything about worms, worms are good. We never done this, but a few years ago, me and Noah, I think, or maybe me and Abigail, we looked into, you know, we thought, let's get, I don't know why we wanted to do it, but we wanted to get a bunch of worms. And people raise worms and sell them in bait shops and things like that. And there's a way to raise worms, but worms are very valuable. I began to read and study about worms, and worms till the soil. They bring in nutrients. They eat garbage, and they what's that called? And they do all kinds of things. They enrich the soil. They turn the soil over. You cannot have fruitfulness without worms. But worms work, and nobody pays them any attention. Don't we need some folks like that in the church? I mean, worms don't have to be in the limelight. They don't like the limelight. They don't care about it. They just do their business, and it is such a blessing. And you know, when you have people like that in church, in ministry, what a blessing that is. They just work. Nobody's prodding them. Nobody's telling them what to do, as a pastor, I know this happens in our church. I'll go somewhere, I'll talk to somebody, they'll say, well, somebody was here and brought some food, and somebody called, and somebody done this. They just done that to be a blessing. They're just a worm. That's all they are. You know, a worm's a pretty good thing to be in God's sight. They're pretty important. You couldn't grow anything without them. You couldn't have the blessings that we have without them. He was a man that teaches humility, that will work out of the spotlight. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us to be clothed with humility. I don't say that Tola did nothing, but it's not written. And if we say that Tola did nothing, then what we're saying is that unless it's written down and recognized, then it don't count. But we don't find that precedent in God's Word. In fact, God in His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus in Matthew chapter number 6, He said this about doing your alms and your prayers. He said to do these things in secret. He said, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If we have to be recognized, or we have to be acknowledged that we've done something, a lot of times that's the only blessing we'll get. But the Bible talks about not letting your right hand know what your left hand does. To do things sometimes anonymously, just to be a blessing. And that's the kind of example that we find in Tola. He was a minute man. He was also, number 6, he was a marathon man. Now, it does say that he judged Israel for 23 years. He judged Israel, and we don't know how old he was when he started or anything like that, but he had several sons. But verse number 2 says he judged Israel 23 years and died. 20 and 3 years. Well, that's not the longest anybody's ever done anything, but it's a pretty long time. If you're in the military, you can retire after 20 years. He'd put in some service. He judged Israel. He had been faithful all of those years. He did that until he died. He had some. It's like this, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's not something there's so many. And I've saw this many times down through the years in different churches, different places. Somebody will come along and, man, you just think they're just going to set the woods on fire. And a year from that, you can't find them. Dr. Lee Robertson, he wrote a book. I've got it in my study. He said this. He said, fireworks don't last. A lot of people, that's how their life, their ministry, you know, it's a big kaboom and, you know, it gets a lot of attention and stuff like that. But that don't last. If you start out in a marathon too fast and you don't pace, you won't make it very long. Christian life is a marathon. God intends for us to run the race and run the race well and to stay in the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. But if you stop running, you won't obtain. We got to stick with it. He was a marathon man. He stuck with the stuff until he died. And that speaks very well of him. Last of all, and I'll quickly try to point this out tonight, but there's a great message in chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Last of all tonight, we would say that he is a message man. There is a message here about Tola's life, and the names that surround him is, in fact, a gospel message. Let me just point out what I mean. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. The first name that is mentioned here after Abimelech is Israel. there arose to defend Israel. Israel means for as a prince. It means to be a prince with God. There arose this man named Tola. And I've already told you that his name means a worm, but it was not just any worm. It was a scarlet worm. It was a worm that they would take and they would crush in order to make scarlet dye. It's mentioned in Psalms chapter 22 and verse number 6 where the Bible says, "But I am a worm and no man." That was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and His humility. And He died upon the cross to wash away our sins. Our sins are not black, our sins are scarlet. It said Tola, who means a worm, the son of Pua. That name there, it means an utterance. An utterance. There's an utterance in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. It's the first time in the Bible the word is capitalized. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who that's talking about. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Boy, you talk about an utterance. God spoke from heaven through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a worm, we have Israel, a prince with God. We have Tola, the worm. We have Pua, whose name means utterance. We have the son of Dodo. Dodo means this, it means loving. That's a funny name, Dodo, but his name means loving. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So there's a beautiful gospel message in all of this. And then it goes on down. It says he was a man of Issachar and he dwelt in Shamir. That word Shamir there, it means this. It means a thorn, a pricking. And Shamir, other places in the Bible, was known as a place of thorns. This world is a place of thorns. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was pierced for us in this world. And it goes on down. It said He died and was, he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. Ephraim, and I've pointed this out before, it means this. It means to be double fruitfulness. And so we have a great little gospel message there in Tola. All the Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to what Christ has done for us on Calvary. And so there's a great message there that points to the cross. His message is one of humility as well. As we was talking about, His name means a worm. And although the Bible does not say a great deal about Him, it doesn't mention anything bad. Praise the Lord. You know, there's how many chapters on Gideon? How many weeks on Gideon? Half of that, Gideon messed up. Wait till we get to Samson. Samson was a judge, but Samson had a lot of problems. And so if we just went by volume, we'd say, well, Samson, boy, he's got 3 or 4 chapters there about him. Does that make him greater? No, Samson had all kinds of problems. He had a woman problem. He had a pride problem, but Tola, not Tola. And so Tola, there's a great many messages, and he stood in the gap. It doesn't say about wars and fightings and all of those things, but he arose to defend Israel. And so there's a lot of things about Tola we could take away tonight and say, you know, wouldn't be bad to be like Tola. Even though it doesn't say much about him. Now, we're getting into, maybe not next week, but read on down. Start reading in chapter number 10. There's the next judge, Jair. I think's how you say that. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more. And then in chapter number 11, Jephthah. Boy, he's interesting to study about him. So read ahead. So I appreciate you coming out tonight.